Well, I just want to first of all say thank you to the church, the folks. You've really signed out your cards and gotten those turned in. And like I said, we just had a tremendous participation there and getting cards signed out. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we're right around to our active church membership roll, right around 90% that have committed to want to have a part and fulfilling the Great Commission. And we are so grateful for that, that the choice of our folks that are just wanting to get involved and help out. Now, what we have, how we have divided up the different areas is the one saturation. We would be doing a lot of saturation. In fact, I'll be talking about all these boxes up here in just a few minutes. We have about 5,000 door hangers. And by the way, the Lord wanted us to have 5,000. Pastor wanted us to have 2,500. But because of just a little mistake that's hardly noticeable, unless you were the one that ordered it and designed it, there was a little mistake that I called and asked them about it. And they said, well, look, we want to make it right, so we're going to send you another 2,500. And so the Lord has given us 5,000 door hangers, and we're going to get those out. And we have some also gospel tracts that I'm going to be showing to you that we will be using in our outreach, and Lord willing, more of that. But what we've had the saturation team. Those are the folks that are going out and be doing door hangers. We have contact folks, those that will do a lot of the talking and when they go to door to door and introducing our church to our community, and if the Lord opens the door, to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our dear neighbors and those that we want to show the love of Christ to. And then there's the assistant contact, those that are maybe not real comfortable sharing the gospel at this point with strangers. But you would be more than willing to go along with them and pray with your contact partner and be able to just at least greet folks and help with conversation. Those are the people that are going to be the assistant contacts, and we have a support role for them. And then also, all of these are equally important, by the way. I've always wanted to stress that. You say you sound like a broken record sometimes. Well, hey, it sometimes redundancy pays, and repetition can go a long way, all right? But the fact of being on the support team is those that don't necessarily are able to go out and get out either physically for whatever reason, but also feels more gifted in a support role, helping out here at the church in the prayer ministry, going to the Lord and praying on the behalf of the folks that have gone out in our community, also those that will help watch children, to perhaps some parents that have small kids that would like to go out and to help with watching the children, and also maybe even helping with some administrative things, just organizing maps and whatnot and tracks and different things of that nature. And then we also have another category here, and that's our special ops. And by the way, I'd like to say something about that. We had a wonderful, Brother Mike gave me a wonderful report on Saturday. I think we had about 13 residents come to the Oaks ministry, to the service on Saturday. Folks, that is tremendous. And I'm hoping to see that grow. The Lord has really burdened my heart for that ministry. I feel like people in our assisted livings and nursing homes, I really believe they have been forgotten about. I believe they are neglected in many ways, and I feel like we have a God-given responsibility as a local church to reach those retirement homes and those facilities in our area, to reach them with the love of Christ and try to encourage them and let them know that they still matter and God loves them and has a plan for them. And so we had 13, and then on top of that, so we had a big crowd because with 13 residents, then we had 13 Crooked Creekers, amen. We had a good group come and participate in the music and to helping out. And to that, I am just so thrilled about how the Lord is opening up that door. And also special ops is the Potter's House. God has opened up an effectual door for us there. And we are so thankful that He is allowing us to go over and preach there on some of the Sundays. And we already have a Bible study going on there every week. Brother Dan is leading a group of men there. How many, on average, how many men do you have, Brother Dan? About 12 men there at the potter's house, that he's, and many of them are just hearing the gospel, the pure gospel, for the first time. And it's just tremendous how God is blessing our desire and effort to fulfill the Great Commission. And so we are just want to give God praise for allowing us for those things. And by the way, this card, the things you signed up for, it doesn't mean that you have to always do that category. If you feel like being bumped to a different one for whatever reason, that's what I was telling the leaders earlier. I want to be flexible. And you can ask my wife. We've been married about 10 years. If there's one thing my wife has probably learned is that she needs to be flexible. I take her out to the Sahara Desert, then bring her back to the United States. She's like, oh, honey, what's going on, you know? In fact, what did your mom tell you, honey, before you married me? What is it she said? Yep, hang on to your hat. And so I've tried to be true to mom's counsel, you know. My point is, we need to be flexible. A lot of these things we're going to be learning as we go, and there's going to be mistakes along the way, and we'll work through those things. And I'm thankful for this is a learning opportunity for all of us. I would rather make some mistakes along the way in trying to do what's right than sit back and do nothing. And I hope that is your philosophy as well, that we can go forward and make a difference. If you want to turn in your Bibles, I'm going to be in a couple places here, but we'll turn in your Bibles, and also your Take It Personally book. We'll maybe take a glance at that, have that ready. And go with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter number 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I want to read a few verses here and comment on them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, finally, he's coming to the close of this letter, and he's saying, okay, finally, brethren, pray for us. He's given a prayer request here, and he says that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. That is going to be our prayer tonight and should be our prayer every day, that the Word of God should have free course. In other words, we talked about that one night, and we talked about how we don't want the Word of God to be hindered. We want it to have free work in our community. And I tell you what, I can understand Satan hindering the gospel. I can understand Satan hindering the Word of God and hindering the Great Commission. But God help us if the local church ever hinders the gospel of Jesus Christ from having free course. And that does happen. Churches neglect their responsibility to get involved, and we don't want to do that. We do not want to hinder. We want it to have free course in the lives all around us, that folks may be changed by this wonderful message. In verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You know, I found it kind of comical yesterday at the youth conference. They did skits throughout the day, and one of them they did. I had no idea they were going to be doing this, but they did skits of experiences that they had had as a church and door to door visitation. And man, some of the things that they faced were just incredible. And what they are experiencing, and one guy, from what all I could tell about this skit, one guy had threatened to shoot them and came out and said, "Don't you see the trespassing sign?" You know, and somebody in their church evidently said the wrong thing in response to that. By the way, that will be a general rule. If we go by a house that has a no trespassing sign, we will not go to that house. All right? That's a matter of respect. That's a matter of courtesy. We will make sure we write down the number of their address, and we'll send something to them in the mail. Amen. But we will be careful to respect people's desire on that, But anyway, it was encouraging to me, church, when I saw those skits yesterday because of this. The teenagers of that church, their youth group, they get involved. And they go out and do door-to-door visitation as well. And I just thought that was tremendous. And I'm looking so forward to our young people growing into these roles of having a burden to do door-to-door visitation and saturation and just thanking God for those reminders along the way that we're on the right track. And this is not some bizarre idea of anybody, but it is a desire and idea of God Almighty. So we see here that we ought to pray also that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. That's why we're going. Not all men have the faith in the gospel. And those are the exact people that need Jesus Christ. And I just the other day, I was at Starbucks and the guy was out on his motorcycle and again, just seemed like a nice guy, and I'm sure maybe he was a nice guy, but he wasn't too nice when he heard me when I offered to pray for him. I came outside and I was just kind of shooting the breeze with him and tell him I liked his bike because I really did, and tried to make that connection. And then I was going to, you know, eventually share the gospel with him. But I first of all, I said, "Well, sir, you know, you like you're getting ready to get on the road. Would you mind if I just take a few seconds and pray for you?" And he looked at me with a scar and he said, "You don't pray for me." I said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I just wanted to pray for safety. I don't need your prayer." And I said, "Well, sir, the only thing I could think of is sometimes," I'm glad it was a good thing, because sometimes the first thing I think of is not always the good thing. But this time it was. I just said, "Sir, well, I just want you to know that God loves you." And that's the only thing I could think of, and I just didn't want to cause a scene there. And he said, I don't need your religion." And I said, "Sir, have a nice day." And he said, "Thank you." And he was not very happy, but he got on the road. And I just couldn't help but think when he was leaving, I just said, "Oh God, please have mercy on that man. Let him to think about the witness that I help him to realize that God does love him." But I gave you that illustration. Listen, there are going to be some people out there that are unfriendly. But listen, you need to understand that the people that are like that, they need exactly what you're trying to give them. They need Christ. And when people are unfriendly, we will be friendly back. We will be courteous and respectful, even if they were to criticize us for what we're trying to do, or to degrade us, or whatever the case may be. Impolite people, we will be polite back, but we do need to pray along the way, because there's some crazies out there. There's some crazies. And we need to be careful. We need to ask God always continually. And in fact, team leaders, that's something you always should keep at the forefront, that pray for safety. Pray that God would deliver you from any danger when we're out there, and that He would protect us. And that's what we're going to do. And look what else Paul says. He says there will be unreasonable and wicked men out there that have not faith. But listen to this. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. And I'm thankful that we can always depend upon that promise. Anytime we're doing anything for God, we can always know that the Lord is faithful and He will see us through. Look what it says. Who shall establish you and keep you, protect you, watch over you from evil. He will be our protectors, like we talked about with Daniel this morning. God's going to protect us and lead us. I believe that. And we will trust that. And then verse 4, and we have confidence. There's our confidence. By the way, can I just say this as kindly as I can? If there is anybody that ever gets confident in the area of sharing the gospel, and let me explain this. If you get overly confident, you better just stay here and be on the support team and just pray. Because if we get overly confident, that means pride has crept in. I'm going to show them. I'm going to convince them. I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to show them where they're wrong. I can share the gospel as good as any. Hey, I want to tell you something. That's flesh. That's old nature. That's pride. And you, that's what a hinder the Holy Spirit's power. Listen, there ought to be a sense of fear. Listen, you say, man, when I get ready to share the gospel, I get shaken inside. Hey, listen, join the club. It's something that happens with all of us. And some of us may have more comfort in sharing the gospel. Yeah, I understand that, but you get what I'm saying here. We should always have our confidence in the Lord God and not in ourselves. And when we do tremble, that is a perfect opportunity to put our confidence in the Lord God and say, Lord, you know I can't do this. I don't know what to say sometimes. I get shaken, but Lord, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this through me. And that is what we want. Our confidence in verse 4 says, we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, Paul no doubt commanded them in many areas for the local church. But it was definitely, Paul definitely gave instruction fulfilling the Great Commission to this church. He was their pastor in many ways, and he was the one that loved them and led them and taught them and mentored them and strengthened them. And this is for us too, that we ought to do what God has commanded us to do. And that's where I believe that we sit here tonight together. We're not doing this because it's just a good idea. We're not doing this because the Great Commission is a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. And by God's grace, we will obey His command, but our confidence will be in Him. And then verse 5, it does say, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We are going to let God direct us and direct our hearts and direct our focus and helping us make a difference in our community. And one of the things I'm so grateful for is that we do live in a community where there are other churches doing the same thing. And that is something that we should always be supportive of. We should always, in fact, I make it a practice to pray for our other gospel preaching churches in our area. I want them to succeed. And that should be your desire too. Anybody that's trying to get people saved and get them the gospel of Jesus Christ should be a desire for them to succeed in that goal. And that is something that we want as a church. We want others to succeed, and we want to succeed for the will of God. We want God to use us to make a difference, to knock on somebody's door that is waiting for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe they're out there. I believe with all my heart they are out there waiting for us. I was just talking to a man this morning, and I'm not going to mention any names, but there was just a man that I was talking to and has grown up in this area all of his life. Older gentleman, all of his life. And I asked the question. I said, sir, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? And he looked at me, and he wasn't being sarcastic. He wasn't trying to be funny or anything. But he says, and he was serious. And he said, you know, I'm not sure. He said, my brother tried to talk to me one time. He said, but I told him, I said, I ain't getting baptized. That he was afraid of water for whatever reason. In fact, I think he even said, it's too cold to be baptized. But in his mind, that was being saved. Baptism. And a lot of folks in our community are convinced of that. And folks, that is false doctrine. I'm sorry, baptismal regeneration is false doctrine. Anybody that believes that baptism is necessary for salvation is false doctrine. And a lot of people are confused in that area in our community, and we have a God-given responsibility to do our best to clear that up and to help them understand no. And so that was a reminder. A man standing on the front porch of the local church that I'm pastoring that's grown up in this area and is telling me, looking me in my face, he don't even know how to be saved. They're out there. And by God's grace, we're going to go towards them. And as we sang those wonderful hymns, I'm so thankful for those hymns you chose and just reminding us of our responsibility of the Lord Jesus and what He is doing. I want to have a quick review. Now, some of our guests, I know you don't have these books, but if you do have your books, I'm just going to kind of hit some highlights just to see how much you guys picked up from what we studied and our Take It Personally. And, you know, don't worry if you don't get any of these right. I will just talk to you about it later, okay? We won't talk about it here. But one of the things we talked about is the value of what? The value of one. We can't get overwhelmed with however many thousand are in our community or however many millions are in our country or however many billions are in our world. We need to focus on that one. That one. That one soul that, for whom Jesus died. And that's what we're going to do. But we talked about that we also need to, in order to be able to explain the gospel, we need to what? In order to be able to explain the gospel, we need to what the gospel? Did I hear it? Did somebody say understand? All right. Can somebody, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, where's this mic here? And I told you we was going to be informal. Can somebody tell me, now I'm not talking about the outline that we had, can somebody tell me what the gospel is? Why am I using this and my lapel mic? I don't know. But can somebody tell me what the simple gospel is, the gospel message? Anybody want to give it a shot and speak up loud so we can hear you? It's the good news, but what specifically is it? Amen. That's it. So if you ever feel like you get stuck in sharing the gospel, keep it simple. Just share the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can't go wrong there. And so that we don't want to get away and get this thing too complicated because that is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And where can we find that verse? And what book of the Bible and chapter and verse can we find that? John 3:16. But where does it Paul say specifically about the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. That's exactly right. That's where we can find it, and that's where we have it clear. Now, we also talked about, in getting started, we need to have a what? We need to have a plan. And that's what we've been doing here. This is simply organizational things. This is not the only way to organize, but it is a way, and it's the way we're going to give it a shot. But we're going to have a plan. Now we've gone over verses together that talk about getting those things together. And by the way, I want to let you know this too. If you're like me, you'll take help anywhere you can get it. And we're going to make some cards that have verses that deal with certain points of the salvation message, like the condition of mankind and his sinful condition, the salvation that comes through the love of Christ, through Jesus dying on the cross. We're also going to give verse reminders of what it means to believe, what the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth in me, and different verses like that. We're going to give to you to have in your Bible as just a reference point. And if you do get stumped, and just to talk about verses, but we're going to make sure that we have a plan. And but even with a plan, you're going to have to be led by God's Spirit. That's one wonderful thing about being out and fulfilling the Great Commission, is that you are going to be led by God's Spirit. You're going to be led by God's Spirit when you're able to do that. Now, one of the things that I have found going out, sometimes God's going to throw you a curveball. And then what I say by that, you're going to go maybe have a situation where you're not expecting. It may be a situation where you knock on someone's door and they come to the door and they just kind of look at you, and you already know as soon as they start looking at you that something's wrong. Something isn't right. And then they make some kind of comment that just totally throws you off, and they may make some kind of comment like this: "I am a dog." You're a dog? That is when you say, "Church, here's an invitation. Come see us sometime. Bye-bye." You're going to be put in some awkward situations, okay? There are going to be scenarios that you were not expecting. And if you ever get into a place like that, you be nice, you be kind, you give them an invitation, and when you come back to fill out your cards on the contacts that you have, people you talk to, note that address, and we will go and speak with them. But don't put yourself in too weird of a situation. And you know, if they believe that they're a dog, listen, let them be a dog, okay? Just move along, and that will be helpful to you. But have a plan, and that is explaining the gospel. Now let me ask you this real quick. Does somebody want to work? There was 5 points in our outline that sort of helped us in our structure of sharing the gospel. We're just going to just take turns. Just raise your hand, and then somebody want to give me the first point of that the outline that was in our Take It Personally book when it came to sharing the gospel. What was one of the first points? God's love. God's love. That's a great way to introduce the gospel, is to ask them, "Did you know, has anyone ever told you that Jesus loves you? That God loves you?" And then, of course, you go from there. And what is the second point? Somebody raise your hand so I can call on you and so we can hear you loud and clear. Raise your hand if you want to answer that. What was the second point? Yes, Christian. Realizing their condition. So God loves you, but then there's a problem. It's your condition. And so what was the third point? You realize that there's a condition, but what is the third point? You can look in your books if you want to. What's that, Brother Thomas? There's a price for sin. Sin was a big price, and that price was Calvary. Jesus paid it all, amen? And that price was paid, and that's the only way that it could be paid. And that's something that we would definitely want to share with them. So what would be the next point? Is that there was a price for sin, and then what else? What was the next point, Mrs. Stone? Yes, Jesus Christ died for that sin. He made a way for us. He died on the cross of Calvary, but God commendeth His love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And that person needs to realize that Jesus died for them. That was the difference in my salvation. I know without a doubt it was. I believed in my head that Jesus died on the cross pretty much all my life that I was in church. I knew that. I believed that. I wasn't an atheist. I didn't deny that and say, "No way, I don't believe that." But it was a head knowledge. It was a head belief, and that was it. But when I was 21 years old and I got under conviction of the Holy Ghost by some of my shipmates sharing the gospel of Christ with me when the Coast Guard, and they would share the truth of the gospel, eventually I understood that I did not have a relationship with Christ. I did not have a relationship with Christ. And so they need to realize that it goes more than just having a head knowledge, but it is realizing that Jesus died for you. Jesus died for your sins, every one of them. And it's a personal thing, and it has to be personal. And then what is the next one? The next point. Somebody want to raise their hand and tell me? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Wanda. Man's responsibility. That's exactly right. Then it comes to that person making the choice. And that's where you would ask the question, "Sir, upon what you've told me today, you've never experienced this, you've never had this salvation, would this be something you were prepared to do today? Is this something you would like to do today?" And then, of course, depending on what their answer is, if it would be yes, then that's when you would say, "Okay, well, let's review. Let's review what we've talked about." And you can ask a question during that time just to see if it was truly processed. Can I give some advice here? This is for anybody sharing the gospel. If you're at someone's door and you ever have a doubt that they're not really getting it, do not try to go further with the gospel with them and leading them to the Lord. You don't want to lead someone with a false assurance of salvation. Folks, that's dangerous. You do not want somebody to get caught in that. You look for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You look for the sincerity in their face. If they're constantly looking at their watch while you're talking to them, if they're constantly looking over their shoulder, listen, that is an indication that it'd be a better time to come back or talk another time and leave them with something. You need to always be looking for sincerity in the work of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be able to discern that as contact guys, assistant contact guys. You will be able to discern that as you go out. It is so important, the utmost importance, that you are looking for God working in that person's life. And if they're ready, then you can lead them to a decision. And we've talked about that, of course. And so, with that all being said, we're not going to go back over our tips, but what I want to encourage you to do now, not just right this minute, but from this point on, please continue going back and reviewing these points, these verses. And also the personal tips about how we should conduct ourselves with courtesy and respect. I can't emphasize that enough, and being led by God's Spirit in that regard. And that will be very, very helpful to our church and our testimony. And by the way, this is just a practical advice. If you ever have somebody say, never come back to my house again, then this is what you should do. You should say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, we'll respect that. You write down their house number and you bring it back to us so that we can log that, because we want to respect that request. And we will not go back and knock on that door, because we want to respect that. Maybe they'll get something in the mail, but we will pray for that person. That's something we could write down their address and bring it before our folks and say, look, we need to pray for this person. They're very hard against the gospel, whatever the case may be, and we want to make sure we do that. Because here's the thing. If somebody says that and you show back up on their door and you knock on that and then you say, we're from Crooked Creek Baptist Church, I'm telling you what, you're building the hardness. You're building the divide even greater. I told y'all not to come back here. I can't believe they didn't turn that number in. Man, make me look dumb. You don't want to be that person that forgot to turn your house number in. But you see, there is the great importance of that matter. And in the days ahead, what we want to do is we want to be able to grow in not only our presentation of the gospel, which, by the way, Wednesday night, please bring your books. We'll have our groups by then. I'm going to tell you our groups here in a minute before we close in prayer. But we'll come in our groups. We'll meet in here Wednesday night, all together as a church, sing a song like we usually do. But then we're going to break up in our groups that we'll be going out with on our Saturday, okay? And then we will pray together in that group, and then you will practice with each other, encourage each other, sharing the gospel. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, if it gets to you, that's no problem. Just say, I'll pass this time. Then just listen. Just listen to other people do it. But the idea is we're getting used to being able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And can I encourage you to do this? To those especially that I'm talking to right now, that for different reasons, and some of them are legit, and I know that, but you are terrified of sharing the gospel with someone. This is what I want to encourage you to do. Number one, you pray and ask God to help you. Number two, do something that will help you tremendously. You write down your personal testimony. You write down your personal testimony as best you know how, of how you came to know Christ, and that you can maybe put some verses with that, whatever verses the Lord would lead you to that deal with salvation, and that will help you tremendously. Because if you do know the Lord, you should be able to share your testimony and to be ready to do that. I mean, it could be like my wife. My wife, we have two totally different testimonies. My wife grew up in a godly home, and she is so thankful for that, and I am too, by the way. And she got saved at a young age. She made a profession of faith when she was probably around 4 or 5, I believe it was, but then got assurance of her salvation when she was 16. But she doesn't have a testimony just like mine, and that's okay. It may be that your parents led you to the Lord in your bedroom, or you got saved in Sunday school class. It doesn't matter. Listen, there's no such thing. Okay, let me just put it this way. There's no such thing as somebody being saved better than someone else. You know what I'm saying? Hey, the same sin sends you to hell no matter what it was. Sin is sin, my friend. And I don't care if you got saved when you were 4 or you got saved when you were 80. I want to tell you what, Jesus died for those sins. And if you didn't trust Christ at whatever age, you would go to a devil's hell. And that is the truth. And so don't ever be embarrassed about your testimony. I've heard that before. Well, my testimony's boring. You know, I think I understand that, but let me explain something to you. You need to realize what God has delivered you from. And that is nothing to be embarrassed about. But my point is, be ready to share your testimony, even during that time. You may not feel comfortable going through that outline, but you can say, look, I can tell you that the Lord saved me. I believe John 3:16, my parents opened up the Bible or whoever and showed me how to be saved. And that's how I came to know Christ as my Savior. And everybody's got a testimony that's been saved, and that's something you'll be able to share.